Serious TV Drama Podcast. I'm Scott. Joining me tonight, wow, let's say he's the hidden immunity idol to my game-changing twist, it's David. David, how you doing?
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Did you think I was going to call you Gott?
I did, actually, yeah.
I thought about it, especially because of the nice rhyme with my own name, You know, the Gott to my Scott and the Scott to my guy, but I was like, nah, let's not do that.
I like the hidden immunity idol though. But, yeah, you know, just that works.
Yeah, it's fine. So, obviously, there will be a few listeners who already know who you are, but just to for everyone else who doesn't, Dave or David, I should say, he's one of our definite loyal listeners and very much appreciated. You are probably. Since the days of CJ have long passed, I think you have become the most likely name-dropped person on the podcast over the last few years. Usually by Dan.
And it's not always, hi, how are you?
No, it's not. So, but David is here to join me in a somewhat of a surprise podcast, but we're going to be talking about something that doesn't generally fall under the purview of, you know, serious TV drama, although it is serious, it is TV, and it's quite dramatic at times. We're going to be talking about Survivor. So, Dave, are you one of those folks who were watching Survivor from the very start back in, what was it, like 2000, I think it started?
I was an original watcher, you know, season one with the naked guy, Richard Hatch. How he won, I still don't understand. And then I think I watched till about four, and then maybe didn't watch from like 5 to 9 or 10, but then I've seen every season since then.
Right. Okay. I also go back to the very first season. I would say, so we're in season 41 now, right? I have seen 40 of the 41 seasons. The problem is, I'm not sure which one I missed. All I can remember is there was a season, and it was a while back, but there was a season I just hated. And I'm not talking about the one from a few years ago, which is the all-time worst one, and we all know which one I'm talking about. If you're a Survivor fan, you know which one it is, because that was the worst one. But it was further back than that. And I got so disillusioned with the show, I just said, I'm not watching this anymore. And I didn't watch the following season. I know the following season was one that started like in September, because they lured me back. I believe I heard like the next one was going to be one of those. It was probably going to be one of those all-star ones where they were bringing people back. And then it was more of a novelty than it's become over the years since. And that's what drew me back in, and I've stuck with it ever since. I think I could figure out which one it is. The problem is sometimes when you're looking up, you know, information about all the different seasons, they tend to reveal who won them in their descriptions. And yeah. I don't want to know who won before I watch it. I know people like to rewatch Survivor, which I find a little weird. But I was like, so I don't know which one it is. I suspect I know the one that I hated. I'm not even sure which one it was. It might have been China. That could have been the one. I think it was around that time, but I'm not sure if it was that one. There was one where a woman won. I don't remember her name, so that means I'm not a super duper Survivor fan the way some are. You know, I can't, you know, rattle off who won all 40 seasons I've seen or anything like that. But there was a woman who won. I think her name began with the letter V. I cannot remember what her name was. It wasn't like Vanessa. It was something weird like, you know, Vesperia or something like that. I think that's who it was who won. And it was one of those like, how did she win? She didn't do anything. Did they just hate the other two? So they voted for the person they hated the least? It annoyed me. I couldn't watch after that.
So before we dive in, I just have a question for you.
Sure.
All Survivor fans kind of fall into one of two camps.
Okay.
Are you a Boston Rob guy or a Sandra guy?
Oh, if I have to pick between those two, then it's a that I'm a Boston Rob guy. I do not care for Sandra or her game. I don't care that she's won two times. It boggles my mind, you know. I mean, Rob, look, I was probably going to talk about something relating to Boston Rob of all people a little later, but I'll do it now since it's been presented to me. Look, I know the season that Boston Rob won, it's one of those – It was, I don't know if it was a good season that was bad or a bad season that was good, you know, because it was one of those seasons where, well, he just ran away with it. And I don't like predictable seasons where it's clear who's going to win and no one's doing anything to stop it. And that was a season where really no one's doing anything to stop this train because he hasn't won immunity every single week. There were opportunities, but when you have a team of a tribe of idiots, they don't get their crap together to vote him out. And that's kind of takes away from it a lot. But I enjoy the way he plays the game because he is someone who, when he's good, he balances all the aspects of what makes a really good Survivor player. You know, Sandra, I feel, exceeds more at one or one and a half things. And somehow she gets to the end. And I give her total credit. She won. She's won twice. That's the only person to do that. But I don't like her game. And when either one of those would show up in a later season, I'd always be like, why do you not vote those people out immediately?
Well, this, you know, when Rob won that one season, I can remember yelling at the TV, how do you not see this guy coming? Get rid of him.
Yeah.
He's gonna make relationships. He's gonna dominate the entire season if you don't get him out.
Oh, absolutely. The saving grace of that season was there were entertaining characters in that season that made it very watchable. I mean, you had crazy FBI guy that season.
Yeah.
That alone was insane. Was that the first season with Coach, I think? I think that might have been with Coach. I feel like it was. If I'm wrong, I apologize. Again, not a super fan. I'm going to forget things. But there was a lot of stuff going on that made it entertaining, but it was ultimately disappointing because, yeah, we saw this coming from a mile away and no one did anything to stop it. There's a number of seasons like that. And I always rank those seasons lower in my mind, even if they have some saving graces to them. You know, like the one, I think it was one with was it Kim with the All Women Alliance? And it was clear that she was going to win for a long time and no one did anything to stop it.
Right.
And yeah, stuff like that bothers me. Okay. So one thing I wanted to mention, I thought it'd be kind of amusing to point out because I don't know if anybody knows, or I might have, I don't remember if I ever made a reference to it online, at least not on our specific podcast page. I was originally tentatively going to be doing a Survivor podcast for this season. Over the summer, it had come up, you know, on Facebook online with, another fellow podcaster of who's probably more well known in the far more well known in the podcasting community, Billy Axel Foley. And we kind of tossed it back and forth, you know, I kind of came up with how I would format it. I even consulted with frequent STVD co-host Jamie about it because I know she had done stuff with Big Brother and I knew she was a Survivor fan, so I just wanted to get her insight on how I would go about it because I wanted to do it in a somewhat different way. I wasn't going to like recap the entire episode necessarily, whatever. But by the time September rolled around, a couple things happened. Axel's schedule just became too busy. He had committed to doing other podcasts. And then in my life as well, September was a hellstorm of bad things I was dealing with. So I wouldn't have been in the right mind space for that. And then from October on, I've just been busy with so many other things that I don't want to get into on the podcast. There's no way I would have had time. So it was going to happen, but it didn't. But now we're doing this. So there you go. It's like an early Christmas present for any Survivor fans out there. So, Dave, you know this already because you've seen me comment on Facebook a few times, and I've even done it on Twitter. And oh, I should also say, when I talk about Survivor on Twitter, and maybe call me a lazy tweeter, perhaps, because I don't want, I rarely watch the show live unless I have to. Sometimes I, you know, I have to because my DVR for some reason decides not to tape CBS on a Wednesday night for some reason. I usually just go into my feed on Twitter and, fellow fan and, you know, survivor podcaster extraordinaire herself, Colleen, from, you know, Jay, Jack and Colleen, those folks. She will usually post a bunch of comments every Wednesday about what's going on the show. I think she might be live tweeting it, in fact. So I usually, if I see anything that she posts that I want to react to or comment on, I usually do it that way. So it's never, I just want to make sure people don't think I'm, you know, ever trying to troll Colleen, because I don't do that. But I have made some comments in about a specific player or two, which she had a caustic response about. And I think that was one of the things that made me want to like finally just do a podcast and finally address my feelings about at least one of the players this past season. So the player I'm talking about, for anyone who doesn't know, if you haven't been following me on Facebook, whatever, I want to spend a little time talking about Shan. You mind, David, if we talk about Shan a little bit here?
Shan is getting a tremendous amount of love on the Twitter, and to a lesser extent on Facebook. But it amazes me that she's getting as much respect. Her game is getting as much respect as it is.
Yeah, I you know what? I'll table my initial outburst I would normally have at this point, and I'll go about it in a more reasoned fashion. Oh, at this point, I should let a few of our listeners know, because I know if you've listened to this podcast and now we're up to, this will be like 27 maybe. We curse on this podcast. Sometimes not too much, sometimes hardly at all. Sometimes between me and Dan, we might dump 100 F words in a podcast, whatever. I'm not going to be going out of my way to curse here. But I'm also not going to restrain myself either if I do feel the need to use certain words. So my apologies in advance for anyone who decides, oh, I want to listen to the podcast while I'm driving my kids to school or something. It's like, okay, just so you know, they might hear a word or two. In this day and age, if that's the thing you're going to be worried about, I don't know what to tell you, because, you know, they can go to the store and hear the word 20 times more than they can hear it on this podcast. But I just want to make sure people are aware of that. Okay, so like you were saying, and I was saying, I've been pretty vocal about, I think I now am considered like anti-Shan. And I've gone up against various Shan fans, as I call them, you know, on social media and whatever. And let me start as a courtesy and also a nod to someone I've already mentioned here, another survivor fan, or she might even be a super fan considered, James.
I think she's a super fan.
We'll say she's a super fan. That's fine by me.
She certainly has encyclopedic knowledge of the show.
Right. I don't claim to have that level of knowledge. I can rattle off a lot of winners. There's no way I could rattle off them all. You know, I can't, there's a lot of things I don't know about. I can't remember about the show because, you know, I'm old. But there was a little back and forth that happened recently on Facebook regarding Shan. And she was kind of, point to my counterpoint or vice versa. And she actually wrote out something which I thought was a very well-reasoned, step-by-step argument to defend Shan. And it wasn't like a super superlative thing. It was so I found it to be very reasonable. So since Jamie's not here, I am actually going to read what she said, and then I will respond to some of it here and there. And this in no way is me take. I'm not going to be taking any shots at Jamie. That's not what I do. Well, it is what I would do, but I'm not going to do it to Jamie. at least that it is not my intention to do that, because she did make some points. There were even a few that I might even agree with. So let me just go through it right now. She starts off and she, I love that she numbered it. You know, I love bullet points. I'm all about that. She wrote, I think she played well enough. She managed to manipulate idols and advantages out of the hands of the finders and then send them out. So kudos for that. Number two, the girl may not have been a frontliner for physical comps, but she certainly never made a fool of herself in physical competitions either. Add to that, she has friggin' MS and coming off four rounds of chemo, so she's no wuss. However, Her social game was pretty sloppy, and it was sloppy enough to paint a great big target on her. I don't have endless applause for her game. She wasn't the best, but I definitely come nowhere near it being the worst. She's saying that because I've started referring to it as, like, you know, the worst player, which is not exactly what I meant, but I'll get to that momentarily. Her final thoughts were, she gets applause from the public because people like her. She's incredibly likable. Sure, it makes her game get viewed through rose-colored glasses, but come on, being likable in this day and age, I know plenty who could never make that happen. I don't know if she meant me, but
that is how I read it.
I kind of like the idea because, as I may mention, I'll mention it. You know what? Let me finish with what she says before I start talking about that. So I'll shake her hand for that anyway. I'd say she's higher end mid-level. I also think they're going to have her back. Okay. So you know what? That is not a bad defense of Shan. You know, I almost wish she was more effusive in her praise of Shan, so I would be able to have a much bigger counterpoint to all that. But she didn't. She kept it fairly moderate. The thing about worst, and I don't know if I mentioned this before. I did say it online. At some point I referred to Shan, or I posed the question, hey, is Shan the best worst player of all time or the worst best player of all time? Cause she's definitely one of those. Okay. So going to what Jamie said. Okay. First off, I will acknowledge. Absolutely. Obviously, especially after I read up on her, that, you know, Shan has MS. She's had numerous chemo treatments before the season started. And apparently, she also didn't take a crap for almost 3 weeks while she was on the island. And medical had to take her off. They did not show this on the show. They didn't want to embarrass her. And which I kind of agree with. They basically took her off the island for a chunk of time to literally flush her out. I mean, and that one, honestly, considering the way I feel about bathroom activities, that gets more sympathy from me than MS does. However,
well, I think you got to give it up. I mean, you got MS and you're still going to get out there and not eat. And, you know, I don't think it gets you extra points, but you got to admit it's pretty.
It's something.
There's some valor there. Right? I mean, come on. There's
valor. But here's the thing. I do not like to let a player's backstory play any part in how I view them on the show and how they're playing. You know, for me, for example, it's hard enough when there's someone who's in there that I personally think, you don't need the money. You know, you don't think I looked into Danny's football career to check to see if he had maybe banked millions playing football or not? Because I was wondering about that until I looked up, got some information about him. You know, the same with, you know, either it's someone who's like her suffering from MS, or the fact that we found out that Ricard is actually, you know, hard of hearing, or all these things. And I understand that it's easy to root for someone who is, you know, triumphing over adversity. Oh, look, this one's a cancer survivor. This one has chronic flatulence. I don't care. Because at the end of the day, it comes down to this. If you're cleared by medical to play, then number one, I don't care. And because number two, I don't like the idea that it becomes an unfair advantage that you could conceivably use that story at some point to play against the heartstrings in, say, a final tribal council. Because information like that invariably does come out. I just, when that happens, it bugs me.
How is that different than somebody, say, you know, sharing that they lost a loved one right before they left, or that somebody was, one of their loved ones is, you know, battling cancer and they're playing the game for them? I mean, it's part of who they are.
But I apply the same logic to those as well. I don't care. That's not about that. You know, I don't want someone writing someone's name on parchment on the final episode and that to play a part. That is not fair. It's not fair. And I don't like that. It pisses me off.
And how do you feel about a player, say, who faked his grandmother's death?
Well, he was an asshole from the get-go. So, you know, that at least was funny. You know, And also, you know, sometimes when someone has one of those hardships, I feel like, you know, it almost becomes an excuse for the fact that they're not winning or never winning any of the challenges in the game. It's like, no, I'm sorry. You're cleared to play. They viewed your health as being, you should be able to compete in this as well as anybody else. And so to me, you don't win those things. You're a loser. It's a tick against you. I'm sorry. I don't care. It's not a factor for me, and it won't be, and I won't let it be a factor in how I view somebody. That's just until I'm proven to be a hypocrite about that. And I can't think of a situation where that's happened to me watching the show. And I hope, you know, I mean, it was admirable when we found out about, when they did that other all-star thing and they brought back, was it Ethan, the soccer player dude?
Yeah,
and it turned out he had actually recovered from cancer in between things, and I went wow, I went wow, it's amazing that he did that, but you know, unless Survivor has a comeback player of the year thing the way like Major League Baseball does, beyond that I don't care. I'm not rooting for you. I don't want to root for you more because of that. That I don't want that to ever be a factor. That's just the way I am. Maybe I'm a cold bastard. That's just the way.
But you can certainly understand why some people do.
Right. I just don't. I want them. But as long as I say, hey, I kind of want to root. If they want to say, hey, I'm rooting for them because they went through this specific hardship, this adversity, whatever in their life, so it makes them like an underdog in my mind, or they're almost like a hero because they're showing that. I get that, but do not rate their game based on that.
I think that's fair, but I mean, it happens in baseball all the time, doesn't it?
If they do, hey, when
I mean, you're a huge Yankees fan, and a lot of people root against the Yankees because, like, they have all the money and they have all the prestige, and so when a team like Kansas City gets involved, the Royals, then the world's rooting for them.
Well, yeah, that's more based on fans being idiots and based on misperception. When I have to tell them, what you think the people who own Kansas City are poor? You think Dayton Moore it doesn't have multi millions? I you know, the guy who used to own the Twins way back when would pocket all the money instead of reinvesting into the team. So
that, believe me, I'm a Cubs fan. I know how that works.
Right, exactly. So yeah, but I thought where you were going with that when you said that. For example, the fellow who won the American League Comeback Player of the Year this year was the fellow from the Baltimore Orioles who had recovered from, I think it was colon cancer. I might have the cancer wrong. I can't remember which type it was. I think it was colon cancer. And it was pretty advanced. He was like stage three or something like that. But he came back and he had a great season. He actually had a legitimately great season. And he won the award. Now, if he had come back and he had kind of a crappy season, like say he only batted 200, only hit like 12 home runs or 40 RBIs instead of the numbers, he attained like really great numbers. Do I still think he should get comeback player of the year just because he was able to be on the field? I'm going to say no. I wouldn't. That's just
me. I think that's fair. I just think you got to acknowledge that America loves an underdog. I mean, heck, they're making a movie about Kurt Warner's football career.
Oh, boy. Okay.
No, they really are.
No, I believe you. I just
it's coming out like in a couple weeks.
Okay, I'll add it to the list of movies I don't care about. All right. So let me get back to some of the stuff that Jamie said there. And again, there are things here I will, to whatever extent, agree with. And the thing she led her off with was the fact of all the advantages and the idol that she was able to manipulate away from the people on her own original tribe. You know, like that trick that she helped play on Genie to get the for the beware advantage, which eventually led to that idol that she got. Hey, I will give her props for that. And, you know, getting that extra vote from the kid in an earlier episode, even though, you know, I think, you know, a half drunk moron could have tricked him out of anything because he was dumber than a bag of Survivor rocks, as far as I'm concerned. So I wasn't that impressed with that move. I also want to point out neither of these were solo efforts. They were done in collaboration with Ricard. Well, and Ricard.
That's what I was going to say.
And Ricard really finessed it so that she would be the front person so that if those plans blew up in their faces, she would be the one to get burned, and she would be the one who would be, you know, the object of any wrath later on because of it, and still kept his alliance with her intact, but he was able to reap the benefits of that.
And he turned out to be exactly correct, by the way.
Right. And by the way, I know, we're going to get to this much later in the podcast, so I don't want to derail my Shan thing too much, but I will point out, you know, with Ricard, hey, Ricard did make a few odd and awkward moves in this game, too. The whole business about giving Shan back the advantage back and forth was cringe-inducing. And that moment in that later round of tribal council when he kept trying to persuade Xander to use his idol. I mean, the dude might as well have been twirling his mustache and tying someone to train tracks the way he was going about it. It was so obvious that, like, dude, three times he told him, I really think you should play the idol. No, you know what? You should really play. Shut up. Anyway, but we're not talking about Ricard right now. We're talking about Shan. But even if I acknowledge, and I will acknowledge Shan was a solid, even good player in the first half of this game. Can anyone honestly say that she played a good game from the merge on? Because if you do, and I don't care who you are, I don't care if you're a casual fan or a super fan or a Survivor podcaster or even the Dalton what's-his-face dude from Entertainment Weekly, I'm sorry. Oh, this is where I'm going to drop a curse because I need to accentuate this. You're fucking wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. Okay, so let's take it from the top. She has that mountain trek with Leanne, the bonding thing. That was fantastic. I loved it. I loved where I thought that was going to lead. You know, they shared their secrets of what they have and how they're going to play this game. I thought, oh, this is a turning point in the game. Oh, and I was at that point, I'll throw it in here because I know she's actually gonna listen to this one. I talk about Survivor every week with a friend of mine who we've been major Survivor fans from the get-go. We actually talked for years about going on Survivor. She's been trying to get me to go on to test out for Survivor since like 2000, 2001. And I kept saying, I can't swim. She's like, you'll learn to swim. I was like, what if I drown? But,
I see you more on Big Brother, but that's just me.
She said the same thing because she watches Big Brother too. Oh, there's your dog you were talking about. Anyway, so the mountain trek was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. But everything following that, things just start to fall apart. And the example I'm going to use, the big one, the huge mistake, is when she goes to run to Leanne to talk about their mutual hidden advantages and secrets and whatever, and she does it right in front of Tiffany. And it was basically like the first day of the merge. I'm sorry. What the fuck was that? She just established she was going to have this great bond alliance with Leanne. Why would you reveal everything in front of this woman that you haven't even worked with and who is not a person of color, not part of anything? You revealed everything in front of Tiffany. What were you thinking?
Horrid gameplay.
That alone, to me, and I will make the point as I go further, that almost nullifies, or at least greatly nullifies, all the great moves she had made in the first half of the game. Because you know what you just did? You just made sure that now everyone's going to know about it. Or at least the people that you want to get rid of know what's going on. Made no sense. That's number one. Number two, look, I loved the idea of the alliance that they were forming between Shan, Leanne, Deshaun and Danny. I thought it was a great idea. I will give as I was saying, I talked to my friend Tiff. Not that Tiffany has appeared on this podcast in the past. It's a different Tiffany. Tiffany, who's also, I should acknowledge, she's also a black woman. She talked about the idea of a black alliance weeks and weeks before it actually happened on the show, because she feels that, especially over the years, black people might not have been the best represented on the show at times.
Do you watch Big Brother, Step?
I don't. She told me all about it.
But yeah, this whole season happened. Was defined by a person of color alliance that was just masterful.
Yeah, Tiffany has told me all about it. I'm super well aware of it. She's actually been using it as an example of how it worked there and how it has not worked on Survivor. But getting to the crux of it. First of all, y'all say you're going to be all secret and discreet about it, and then you're in no way discreet about it. And at no point does it ever, this alliance ever come off as being democratic. And I keep thinking, Shan, you're a pastor. You're used to working with people and dealing with a room. Can you not see how things are impacting the other players that are either in your alliance or how you're impacting the other players in the game and how they're going to catch on to things? And oh, by the way, and I will, again, hopefully the last time I'm going to mention her, I got to give Tiffany full credit because she pointed this out way back when as well. You're going to need more than a 4-person alliance if you want to get far. It's nice to have that. And the way I would phrase it, because she thought it should be a people of color alliance. Bring in Ricard, bring in Erica, bring in Nasir. Then you've got a true majority. Then you can start picking everybody else off before you whittle down to what the true alliance is of those four. That would have made more sense. But instead of doing that, then you pivot to Shan just obsessing about getting rid of Heather, you know, from week after week. What? I just felt she can't read people around her. There's those again. And let me then finally say, or what are they? There have been two of the dumbest moves I've seen in Survivor in years this season. She did one of them. And I don't mean blowing it in front of Tiffany. That was just stupid, but it wasn't a specific move. Can anyone, I hate the fact I've been looking around online. I don't listen to the podcast, so maybe someone said it in a podcast. So, you know, kudos to anyone who has. But no one has ripped her. And I mean she deserves to be ripped for this. She used two votes. And she split them.
I'm still trying to figure that out. I don't even know what logic was possibly used.
It is possibly the dumbest thing I have ever seen. If you split your vote, you're basically not voting. Because you're negating your vote.
Yeah, correct.
I was trying to think of any kind of scenario where that would be what you'd want to do. And I was like, oh, maybe if you're trying to maintain a tie, so they got people. I was like, but that doesn't even, every permutation I tried to think of just didn't make sense to me. And even if you're going to do that where you want to, then I don't know, save your extra vote and just vote for someone else that you know is not in the crosshairs. You know, whoever it might be, throw it, who cares? You wasted a major advantage. It was a total waste. And just stupid.
Did it occur to you that maybe Ricard told her to do it because he wanted to flush it out?
If you know what? If she was so dumb to fall for that, then maybe it becomes the dumbest move ever. Because the only thing I would say that was dumber than that was what happened to Leanne when she fell for Xander's idle subterfuge and totally wasted her advantage in the dumbest way possible. And we're all watching, it's like, she's not really going to, oh my God. It's so obvious he doesn't, oh my God, she's an idiot. I love that this alliance had these great advantages and they both wasted them and they're both gone. So there you go. And then, oh wait, I didn't get to the final last part. So she gets voted out. And as she's leaving, she tells Ricard that he's going to get her $1 million vote. So, oh, by the way, so much for that all-black alliance, since you just made it clear I'm not going to vote for anyone who's part of that. Wow. And then you call Deshaun a snake. And then we find out the reason why you called him a snake is because you feel he broke the alliance. Two things. Number one, you just said you're going to give Ricard your $1 million vote, so whatever. Number two, earlier in the game, you told Ricard that Deshaun was gunning for him. So I'm sorry, you broke the alliance first. You put your alliance with Ricard over that alliance. So you were the snake before he was a snake. So I cannot understand the defense of her. I don't get it. And I just feel that sometimes people go a little too far with this immediate revisionist history because they want to paint a narrative that pleases them because she's likable and she was at least initially a very cunning player. And then you package in all the other aspects about her. I get that. All of a sudden you think she's the shining example of a great survivor player. But, and maybe it feels like it's taboo to say otherwise. But no, that's bullshit. I admit, I had a little bit of hyperbole when I referred to her as the worst player. That's not really what I meant to say. It's like what I was saying before. I couldn't decide if she's the best worst player or the worst best player. And I just mean someone who has gotten the level of hype and website article support and totally screen time edit. But once the merge happened, she made blunder after blunder after blunder.
So, I think you're even giving her too much credit pre-merge, frankly.
Yeah, you know what? I might be, but I'm trying to be a little bit balanced. But at the end of it, what did Jamie say at the very end? She said she would rank her higher end mid-level. I would rank her lower than that. If I'm being charitable, I was going to put her directly in the middle, like, you know, head of a pin center. And then I started thinking about those misplays that she did that I just mentioned, like the extra vote and blowing the entire game. She basically ruined the game that she and Leanne could have played by blowing everything in front of Tiffany to begin with. That the echoes and impacts of that just ruined stuff for her, for them. Those two misplays don't just equal out whatever good she did in the first half. They had more of a negative impact than any of her positives. So forget center. I am actually going to put her in the lower half of mid-level players. And yeah, they're going to bring her back, I'm sure. I don't care. They bring back plenty of people I don't like on this show. So that means nothing to me.
Well, I mean, they bring back people they think people on the TV are going to want to watch.
Yeah.
They don't really care if they're good players or bad players or win or lose. They just, if they're going to create a buzz and get more eyeballs on the TV set, that's who they bring back.
Yeah, it's who makes for good TV. Absolutely.
And so if she's popular, certainly they're going to bring her back. And you know, I got to say, she's likable. But she allowed Ricard to make her the bad guy in every move they made. Mm-hmm. And one by one turned all the people that were left against her to the point that at the end, Liana was the only person in her own alliance that voted for her. So you had Ricard, Danny, and Deshaun voted for her to go home because she became so toxic to the alliance.
Right.
And so, you know, I don't know how that can be construed as great play or even a blindside. How did she not see it coming?
I'm just glad they actually did it because, as we were talking earlier, I'm always shocked by the fact that people don't vote out certain players the first opportunity they get or at a certain point, and you don't leave them in the game too long. Like Xander talking about not going after Ricard because he thinks he's in an alliance with him, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, that's not good. I get it, but you want to get rid of him, man. You want to get rid of him because he is going to beat you. He's your main competition. Stop. Don't be like she was, because you're going to get knocked out of it just the way she was.
I see both of her alliances as just being fundamentally flawed.
Yeah.
You know, in the alliance with Liana, Deshaun, and Danny, they all knew that she had Ricard in her pocket. So that makes her dangerous to all three of those members because they didn't have somebody outside the alliance that was loyal to them.
Right.
And so that made her a target. And then with Ricard, you know, when he wouldn't give the idol back, she should have just hugged him and said, I totally trust you. I think it was brilliant play on Ricard to not give it back because it threw her off balance. And he got to see what he understood at that moment. She was playing a personal game and she wanted that idol back more than she cared about him.
That's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Okay. And I thought it was brilliant. I mean, I think it was his best move of the game.
Really?
And how up he got her by not giving it back. He ultimately did, but
that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way. But yeah, it's almost like using it as a test to see. Yeah, that actually works for me then. I just found the whole thing, it was making me cringe watching it. But a lot of it was just, it was her, the level of insistence on her part and him kind of playing dumb about it because, you know, obviously it wasn't meant for you to keep it, dude. It was only to hold it, whatever.
Well, naturally, but if you look at great alliances, I mean, you look at like a Robin Amber alliance, they wouldn't have cared who was holding the idol.
Right.
They were together no matter what.
Right, right, right.
And I think what he forced her to do was reveal she wasn't really with him no matter what.
Yep, yeah.
And that made him cutting her easier.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And plus, it had to happen anyway. I mean, I'm glad they didn't let it linger too long. But even though now, well, who are we left with? We've got what?
Heather, Erica, right. Deshaun, Danny, Xander, and Ricard.
Right. Yeah, because Leanne, they got rid of just last week, and I'm not shedding any tears for Leanne. I find it fascinating that Leanne's best moment on the show was how she handled tribal council when she spoke about the issues. I thought that was brilliant and amazing and really well said and moving and everything. I just thought, wow, it's great that you had said all this now, but your gameplay has kind of sucked for weeks.
and I love that. And I thought, I mean, I really wanted to see her go far, but she worked herself in a corner. You know, there was somebody who was totally loyal to Shan. She would have never left her. She would have never voted against her. And Shan couldn't see it. She gave her loyalty to Ricard.
Right, right. And it flies in the face of their mountain trek bonding. And yet, after all that, and you were still going to him. You know, I mean, some of her poor gameplay was, again, if Shan doesn't blow her up in front of Tiffany by accident, whatever. But I also thought her obsession with Xander to the point where it just got, where she made the stupid move, whatever. I just hate his face. It's like, you didn't really accomplish anything else.
Now, did you see they released a scene, I've not actually seen it, where Xander actually admits he had a crush on her.
That's really?
Yes, and he would have never voted her to go home. Oh, that's the amazing part about that.
I don't even know how to, wow. That poor kid. That's amazing. Okay, so where do you want to go now? I mean, I saw somewhere, I see that you like to, maybe this is a thing you do regularly, where you rank the remaining players. I guess you do it in kind of the classic, you know, power rankings of the remaining players.
Yeah, and I have to caution you on that. That's not who I think is going to win. It's who I think is the most powerful and playing the best game at the moment.
Okay.
You know, as opposed to, because actually who I think is going to win, I think is ranked number 3 or 4.
I see. All right. So do you want to go from 1 down to 6 and we can talk about each player and why we think they are where they are or vice versa?
Why don't we go the backwards? We'll deal with the
lesser,
the dead weight first.
Okay. So, I can do my ranking of 6 as we go through it. So you're the guest, and I've already talked too much. So I'll let you go first with your number 6.
Well, I think number 6. I think there's no question it's Heather.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
I mean, she is the ultimate floater. If I'm in the top 5, I want her sitting next to me. She's in no danger of getting voted out because she's no threat to anybody. And so, you know, she may stick around for a while, but she's got no control. She's got no authority in the game. She's just, you know, going to get dragged along because no one's afraid of her.
Right. At this point, the only purpose she really serves is that she would be, at least to some extent, in an alliance maybe with Erica and Xander or something. So the only reason to get rid that I could conceive of to get rid of her would be if something happened where, if for some reason, say like Xander's playing his idol and Erica somehow won immunity, I can't see that happening, but it could. You never know. That might be a reason for them to vote out Heather because it takes away a vote from them. But beyond, that's really flimsy. I agree. I don't. She has to be number 6. I don't see any reason to even bother with her.
No, I can see her, you know, floating down to the final 3 for sure.
Oh yeah. But she'll be the classic zero vote person.
Zero votes.
I'm just happy to be here kind of person.
So we're agreed on 6. I figured we would be. Number 5, I have Erica.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, I keep reading how smart Erica is, but I never see it. I don't see it on the show. I don't see any cunning plans. I don't see any good alliances. I don't see any big game moves. I mean, yeah, she's done a little bit with the math and the splitting votes a week or two ago, but I just can't see the people on the jury voting for her to win.
Well, Erica is not my number five. I don't know if I should talk about, I guess, but since you talked about her, Erica is actually my number four. So okay. we're not talking about a huge chasm of difference here.
Yeah.
Well, first, thank God Erica didn't make the dumb move way back when she kind of changed the whole game with her decision. If she had decided the other way, and I can't see anyone with half a brain deciding the other way, so I don't want to give her too much credit for that, you know, but she did greatly impact the game. She has been someone who has at different points in time been targeted by other people, and she's managed to skate away from that. Whether she's actually been able, I mean, there was one, and I think you might have made a reference to it, there was definitely one vote that she definitely helped orchestrate that I thought was impressive within the last couple of weeks. I don't remember which
one. No question.
And at least I'll give her like a half credit. At least she acknowledged that they should be going after Ricard instead of I guess it was Leanna or something, because she was on the horns of that dilemma. Do I go this way or do I go that way? And it was a very good argument either way, because if I do this, yes, it helps get rid of the biggest threat in the game, but you're going to upset a larger group of people who then will then target you to get you out of the game, possibly, or maybe not. If she had gone the other direction, it still wouldn't have mattered, because Xander actually played both of his votes against Leanna. So I guess it wouldn't have mattered, actually.
Right.
So in a way, it's a good thing she didn't waste it. She didn't risk it, because it would have been a waste of time anyway. But I'm not saying I can see her. I don't think she's done anything to win, but I think she's at least had some impact on the game, as opposed to someone like Heather. We'll see what happens in the next week or two. Again, me having the difference between four and five is rather slim for me. I got a feeling that your number four is my number five.
I'm not sure, because my number four has been a little controversial on Facebook, but my number four is Deshaun.
My number five is Deshaun.
Okay, so we're in agreement. A lot of people think he's played a great game. I think he's played too emotionally, and I think he's angered a lot of people.
Okay, I don't see how he's really played a great game. I mean, there are some moves that he was part of putting into play that were the quote unquote right move, but I don't think he plays a great game at all. He is absolutely too emotional, way too often. Which makes him a riskier person to bank on compared to other people in this. On this tribe. I don't even want to get into the tears. I was genuine or not, I was just like, oh, enough already, please. No, I don't, you know why? I'll tell you why. I could never vote for Deshaun. I would never root for him. You know why? Because he did something way back in this game, which whenever anyone even mentions the idea of doing it, I'm already like, I don't like you. You don't deserve to be in this game. He was the one way back when they were still on their separate three tribes, who was really hammering home the idea of throwing the challenge.
Yeah, it's true. I do recall that.
I am never in favor of that. I do not think it's a good tactic. There is no way it's a good tactic.
It works on Big Brother.
Oh yeah. And you know what? But this is a different show.
Right. No. I'm saying on some reality shows, it makes sense, right. But this is not one.
It does not make sense for this show, because Because if when you go, and again, they didn't maximize this the way they should have. You should have done the People of Color Alliance, dudes. You still can then bring, if you can bring all your your entire tribe into a merge, and you haven't ostracized anybody. And again, they didn't have a choice. They had to knock either Nasir or Erica back to that island. And so naturally it was Erica, whatever. So, but other than that, you don't throw a challenge.
No.
No, and you know, you could see that Danny was not liking the idea of it. He's a professional athlete. He's about competition. I think he was sort of going along with it, but I'm not going to give him, because he was getting pushed by Deshaun because of his one true alliance he had at that point in the game. But it didn't work. I love that Nasir just kind of screwed up their plans. You know, I wasn't really rooting for Nasir at all, but I love that he's like, no, he's there to play. That's what they're there for.
Yeah, he was a one-man wrecking machine in that challenge.
Right. It was great. It was probably one of his shining moments on the show.
I will give you an argument for why Deshaun should be 4 and not 5, and Erica should be lower.
Okay.
And it's simple. It's very simple. Deshaun has a stronger alliance with Danny than Erica has with anyone. And so I truly believe Danny and Deshaun got each other's back at this point, so that notches them up for me.
I guess you could say he has a stronger alliance with Danny than, say, Erica does with Heather.
I think Erica would throw Heather off in a heartbeat if she thought it was in her best interest.
Well, you're just giving me a reason to like Erica more than Deshaun by saying that. You think I care about loyalty? Who are you talking to?
No, but I'm saying loyalty is power, and it's part of the power rank.
Yeah, okay, no, I'll give you that. It does make me want to change my ranking, but because there's never been a time where I was watching and I thought, Erica, you're a fucking schmuck. I have thought that about Deshaun too many times. So
yeah,
nope. I now believe our top three. Well, our top three has to be the same. There's no way it's going to be any different.
I would guess number 3 is Danny.
Yeah, 3's got to be Danny. Danny has grown on me week after week. I was making jokes about him on my weekly call initially, where I was like, because I kept going, he played in the NFL. And again, here I am being a little bit of a hypocrite. It's like, I don't know if I want to root for the guy. But then I was watching, it's like, oh, they're very smart this season on Survivor, that the majority of the real major challenges, especially when it came to immunity time, were tests of endurance and stamina rather than just out and out strength and athleticism.
Right.
So he didn't have the automatic, advantage over everybody else that, other challenges we've seen over the years he might have. But he's, you know what? Like, everyone talks about Deshaun being likable. It's like, not really. But Danny, I think, is likable. I really like him. You know, he was the one who was just bringing up getting rid of Ricard. Come on. If our top three turns out to be the top three, and it probably won't, because Survivor is great about giving us disappointing final threes.
Right.
There's always that one, it's like, really? What, can't you bring back the final two again then? Because sometimes I miss it being just two people.
No doubt.
But yeah, I'm a fan of Danny's. I was very pleased he won, and he was recognizing his father's passing, which the reason that affected me is because that night I was watching it. Coincidentally for me, it was also the anniversary of my own father's death, and it actually reminded me about it. And I was like, oh man, that's nice. Okay. Good for you, Danny.
Yeah, it was, well, and it gave him an opportunity to have a real conversation with Deshaun.
Yes.
And somehow that conversation and then what happened at Tribal to me kind of flowed. And maybe they didn't in reality because of the edit, but it just seemed like Deshaun then opened up more as a person. I could be wrong on that. But yeah,
it could be. Yeah, it's funny how I feel that many people get very... Let me see how I want to couch my words. I want to be careful. I don't want to offend anybody. Wait,
today.
Why do we care about offending? I don't give a fuck about offending anybody.
I was going to say. Yeah, when did that start?
When they go from Ricky Gervais to Mr. Rogers here. I feel people get way too preoccupied with talking about the edit of the show. Especially when they're talking about, you know, who the likely winner is, and they keep focusing on the edit. Hence why I am one of the reasons I'm so happy Shan got knocked out of the game. Not because I hated her. I didn't hate her. I just got annoyed with her, and she's like, why are you screwing this game up? But people kept talking about her being the favorite, and they kept focusing on the edit. And I was like, have you not been watching this season? They've been deceptive with the edit and a number of episodes. They have literally not shown us things, you know, on purpose, and then all of a sudden the vote be like, wait, what just happened? Because they didn't indicate that with the edit. So don't, those who think this is all about the edit, you should maybe stop thinking that, because I think they're doing things to kind of screw at you people.
I think that's absolutely true.
Yeah. And which, by the way, has resulted, there was at least two different councils where I was like genuinely surprised by the way the vote went.
But isn't that good?
It's I mean, great. It's what you want. It's absolutely. I mean, if I'm watching a mystery movie, I don't want you to lay everything out as clear as day for me all the way up through the third act, and then by the time they're revealing, it's like, well, I already know who the killer is. No, you screw with us. That's the whole idea. If you're going to edit, that's how you should edit the show. So when you start going on about the screen time, it's like, well, some people play better to the camera than other people. Some people have more to say. Some people have more, whatever.
Some people are just more charming or interesting, too.
Yeah. So, okay. So Danny's three.
Well, now, before we leave
Danny, I'm sorry.
I got one more point I got to make on Danny.
Go ahead.
I have a suspicion that Danny's been hanging back in the weeds and potentially could begin to win out on challenges.
Oh, I can see that.
So as I'm just saying, I think, you know, we just saw that on Big Brother where the eventual winner hung back till about five, and then he turned it on and he won about everything. And so, you know, I got to wonder if he isn't, you know, hanging back a little bit, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, he won this one pretty handily. And, you know, I think he's built friendships, and I think he's in a good position to actually win the game.
Right.
Even though he's not the most powerful player right now.
No. The next two are.
Right.
But yeah.
Now, who do you have at two?
Oh, I have Xander at two.
So do I.
Yeah. Xander, I've found to be a fascinating case study as I've watched him this season, because there are times I feel. There are sometimes I feel I've underestimated him as far as, you know, what's going on, you know, in his brain. And then there are other times where I'm like, dude, I thought you were a bit more on the ball here, but sometimes your naivete just kind of comes out. And maybe it's because he's so young, because I think Xander is like 21 or 22, something like that. I know he's very young.
I think he's 22 or 23, but okay. He's young.
Yeah, which is fine. I'm not rooting against anyone because of what their age is or whatever, but it's more about his lack of life experience maybe leading him to be a bit more naive than some. Maybe he doesn't have any, he hasn't been around long enough to be cynical about anything. He's the anti-Scott. But the dude it's like the dude has made more good moves than bad, I feel. I'm impressed with the number of times he could have played his idol and he chose not to. I thought he was right not to play it for Evie that time. I'm glad he didn't. Because she didn't have a really true alliance with him to begin with. So I'm glad he saw through that or not. I don't know, but either way, he didn't give it to her. So I thought that was a smart move on his part. The way he's talking about Ricard right now, that's an argument to be made. And I was talking about this with my friend a couple days ago.
It's what choice does he have, frankly?
Well, the thing is, if you go after Ricard, then you're the guy they're going after. Then it's all about you. And then they're all just going to be trying to go after you. So I've heard this tactic before. We've seen it before on Survivor, that you want to keep it's in a way, although not being done with the same kind of finesse, perhaps, but maybe more because it's so under the radar. The idea that Ricard was using Shen in such a way where she was going to be the one taking the arrows or the more obvious target than he was. Although that kind of went away after he started winning immunity challenges and stuff. And people started.
Yeah, true enough.
You know? And with Xander and Ricard, I mean, physically, I think, Xander could probably smoke him in certain things, but Ricard is definitely right there with him for the most part. But there's just the risk. There's the longer you keep them in the game, the riskier it is that they're going to stay there.
Yeah.
And the one thing that Xander has going for him is he still has that damn idol. He still has that idol. Well, so that
his gameplay has improved. As the game has proceeded, he has gotten better and better, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely. He's someone I understood why he used his extra vote and how he used it. Would Leanne, should Leanne have been the target or not? That's one of those debatable things. But if people weren't going to be on board of going after anyone else, but he wanted to make sure it didn't become something else, which it might have. If Erica had switched, they still would be getting her out. But the fact is, you know how sometimes, oftentimes on Survivor, someone hears somebody's gunning for them, therefore, I have to go after them. Leanne made no secret of her, has made no secret episode after episode of trying to get rid of him. So it kind of, whether it turned out he had a crush on her or not, which kind of makes it even funnier, quite frankly. Yeah, just get rid of the person who's throwing your name out there more than anybody. Even though at this point, everybody should be throwing your name out there, Xander. Was there anything else we wanted to cover on Xander there? I mean, I like the game he's playing. We'll see where it goes. Or we could just go right to Ricard.
Oh, we can go right to Ricard. I mean, like I said, Xander's stronger. And if Xander or Ricard, absent the other one, are in the final three, I think either one of them win with the other one not there.
Oh, absolutely. It'll just, the interesting thing, if neither one of those two does something really major to change minds over the last, wow, there it goes, twice I coughed into the mic, over the last couple episodes, if Ricard and Xander are both in the final three, I do think Ricard wins. And I think it'll actually be a significant number.
I agree with that, but I don't think Ricard will be there. I think he's going home.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If that's the only way that happens. If Xander's in the final three, if Danny goes on an immunity run, does that mean Danny therefore could beat Xander in the final three? Maybe, but Xander's made more interesting moves than Danny has at this point, at least at this point in the game.
Right.
You know, Xander's had to kind of operate on his own, and he keeps being allied with people who are lying to him, basically.
And there's just no question that's true. He really hasn't had an alliance per se.
Yeah. He's had more, we're the ones at the bottom, but even that doesn't feel like a genuine alliance. It feels like they're just kind of like, I guess we'll vote together.
When he let Evie walk, she basically said on her way out, well, you know, I wasn't going to really work with him anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's why I was so happy he didn't play the idol for her. It's like, no. She's using you, bro. She was never going to, she never had a real alliance with you. So that's why if he makes it to the final three, that impresses me more than a lot of the others because it's like what you just said. He never had at least that one or more people that was there lockstep with him to help him along. The way Ricard did with Shan for a while, the way Danny and Deshaun have with each other. He's never had that.
Well, that's going to be his argument. I never really had an ally. you know?
Yeah. He didn't have to depend on someone else to get him there. That's the argument. Yeah.
And he's really turned one idol into an incredibly powerful thing. Where when you think two people have already left with idols in their pocket.
Right.
And there was, at one point, there were three idols and like two additional votes and another power out there. There were powers everywhere. And he turned his into something that was pretty special.
Right. Right. He used it. His not using it was able to get rid of one of the biggest wacky advantages in the entire game.
Yep.
And he did that in front of everybody. Now, again, Leanne was dumb to fall for it. Granted, so maybe it dilutes it a little bit, kind of like what I said about Shan earlier when she was able to get the extra vote away from the kid, JD or whatever he was calling himself. But I love that he did that on the big stage where everybody saw it. Just, it worked. And he's still there.
I think there's, I think there's no question that if Ricard or Xander are in the final three, they win it. One of them.
Oh yeah.
And Ricard, I think, is one. And I think Xander is number two. I think Xander needs Ricard gone. Ricard does not need Xander gone to win.
Yeah, Ricard is much more of a threat to Xander than vice versa. Although it's not like Ricard won't try to get rid of Xander if he does have the opportunity, because he would still view him as his strongest competition going into the final three. Unless,
but right now he needs him.
Right. Again, we're down to six. So it'd be 6, 5, 4. There would be three more challenges before. Oh, the fourth one is when they go to do the fire thing, right?
Yeah.
They pick one that, I don't know. I can't decide how I feel about that anymore. I'm kind of getting tired of it, but we can talk about that in a minute here.
Well, they might not this year. Good. There could be a twist.
Good. I hope they do. So actually, since we've covered the six, I wouldn't mind talking a bit about, some of the changes that they've done this season, how we feel about them, and maybe some ideas we might have for any future seasons if we have any. I have a couple.
Do you want to do our predictions for what's going to happen from here first and then end with that?
Yeah, we can do predictions now. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because it just seems to flow from where we were.
Look at you. You're like a professional podcaster.
Yeah, you know.
And I got like...
Hardly that.
All right, go on.
Well, I have Danny picked as my winner.
Interesting.
And I will explain to you why.
Okay.
Is Danny and Deshaun, I think we know, are going to align, and they're going to continue to align. And I don't see any reason to believe either one is going to stab the other in the back imminently.
Okay.
Okay. Erica and Heather were both on their original tribe.
Right. Right.
And they're going to pull the girls over. Ricard's too big a threat. He's got to go. He'll go. Then I think Erica, then Xander, leaving the final three, Danny, Deshaun, and Heather. And then I think Danny wins.
So basically, you're banking on it being possibly the worst final three, or second worst final three, I guess, would be, because Erica, Deshaun, and Heather would be the worst one, I suppose.
Well, I don't know. To me. The person who wins by making sure he goes with people, or he or she go with people that can't beat him.
Oh, I get that. But,
right. So, I mean, that's the game.
But I feel when we have a final three, I'm willing to accept there being one person there who's like, you really shouldn't be there, because that might be the person that whoever was the quote unquote, winner initially. I'm picking Ricard. I'm picking a name in front of me. So let's say it's, you know, it's, so when it's four, he picks one and then the other two have to do, usually they do the fire challenge to who's going to be the third person, right? So let's say it was down to, I don't know, Ricard, Danny, Xander, and Heather. I don't know. he should, well, then by that logic, and I would agree with it, pick Heather, because you know you're going to beat her.
Of course.
And then let Danny and Xander battle it out, or whoever I said were the other two, battle it out for the fire. Let fate decide that, because, you know, those would be more of a challenge for you. I mean, obviously, Ricard probably shouldn't have been the person I picked, because he's going to beat everybody, probably. But you know what I mean.
Well, the only way you wouldn't do that, or you would do that, is if you knew you had the votes. In other words, if it didn't matter who's sitting next to you, then you take the best players, because the win looks bigger.
Right, okay. It just, there's always that risk.
Right, and that's why, you know, I think either Ricard's going home this week. And I'm not even sure Xander's going to stay aligned with him. I think once the girls cross over, they may be able to talk him into it, too.
Yeah.
Because he's clearly the biggest threat. I mean, they all know it, so why not get him out? Unless he wins immunity.
Unless he wins immunity.
But they could make the same move the following week, though.
Well, basically, yeah, right. Because right now, if Ricard wins immunity, I think Xander has to play his idol. I think at this point he has to.
Correct. He wouldn't have a choice, otherwise he goes home.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we go to a five, and at that point they'll probably get rid of
Deshaun.
Yeah, probably. They probably
be my guess.
They probably think the social game, blah blah blah, and they probably and they're probably not taking Erica seriously as any kind of threat. And Heather is, you know, Heather's, who cares? So then you have five. Well, then it's interesting because it comes down to the immunity challenge, and then it's going to depend on what kind of challenge it is.
Right.
Because we assume, and we could be wrong, you know, because you never know, but one assumes it's going to be one of those first three, Ricard, Xander, Danny, who wins the challenge. Unless they come up with something and somehow Erica's able to pull it off or something like that. But I have a hard time seeing that happen.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while, a surprise thing has happened like that, but I'd be shocked. You know, I would just be totally shocked. Yeah, I'm very curious to see how this whole thing plays out. Okay, so basically you're saying Danny wins, and you feel the final three is going to be Danny, Deshaun, and who is your third? Heather?
Heather, yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I agree with the getting rid of Ricard thing, even though there's a voice in my head that says, he's going to win the whole thing. He's going to win the whole thing. They're not going to stop it. He's going to win the whole thing.
Well, he should win the whole thing.
I don't think he will. I think there's enough people here who realize you got to get rid of him to get rid of him the minute he does. If he doesn't win immunity, you get rid of him. His name has been in the mouth of Erica. His name has been in the mouth of Danny. Xander needs to get over it because they just have to say, dude, we're only at six now. He's your main competition, you know. And if he thinks people are playing him for the idol, then fine, play the. Aren't you running out of time to use the idol anyway? When's the last time you can use the idol?
Maybe this week.
See, I can't. I always forget if it's six or five. I feel like it's six.
In which case he's playing. In which case he stays.
Yeah.
If he won immunity, he could take whoever he wanted with him.
Right. I'm actually, I never thought I would have said this about a month ago, whatever. I'm going to go with Xander. I think Xander's going to somehow pull this out. And I'm looking at the lineup here and who those final three might be. If you get rid of Card, you have Danny and Deshaun together. You also have Xander, Erica, and Heather. Those three go against those two. They're going to get rid of one of them. They would try to get rid of Danny first, unless he had gotten immunity, because they might perceive him more as a threat. I don't know which one of those two they'll get rid of first. But either way, oh my God. So my prediction means, oh, we'll end up with Xander, Erica, and Heather. Oh Lord. Okay.
That'd be pretty weak too.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. It's another weak batch. I hope we're both wrong, quite frankly. But I want it to be our top three, because I just think that would be the most interesting combination. I cannot remember a season of Survivor where I got the top three I wanted. I don't think I never get it. So I'm going to go with Xander, Erica, Heather.
Okay.
So now, I know there's been some consternation with some folks and less so with others about the change, the curveballs they've thrown in this season. How have you felt about them so far?
Well, I thought early in the game, you know, pre-merge, there was just too much. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, three idols, three extra votes, this other advantage. And it was just, there was the, what do you call it, shot in the dark. There were so many things going on that the game kind of became secondary to all the gimmicks, mm-hmm. in my mind.
Right.
And you know, to me, Survivor's the best when it's about personalities and building relationships and the athletic competitions as well. But, you know, when it becomes about the gimmicks and it becomes luck, I don't love it as much. And I just feel like they, you know, they just had too much going on. Then they tightened it up, you know, in the second half of the season. And, you know, if you use the dividing line, Erica's the twist where she, you know, had to be given a hammer because she couldn't use the rock to break the hourglass that was filled with what color? Black sand. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but to me, you know, that was like the last of the worst. And after that, I actually liked the twist last week.
Oh, the do or die thing?
Yeah, although I think the only thing I think they could have done that made it better would have been to say, if you are the first one out, you only have a 1 in 3 shot of remaining in the game. Because had they said that, I think more people might have sat.
Hmm.
Because I was shocked. I thought it would be 50-50. And when it was 66-33, I went, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and on some level, do you think production is pointing, going, pick the one on the right?
Yeah, there's nothing more disappointing than when you get through an entire episode of Survivor and then there's no tribal council because, you know, someone had to be airlifted out or something like this would have happened. It would have been very anticlimactic, I thought.
Sure.
I think I mostly agree. I liked the three idol thing. I liked it only because I actually thought that was better. And then you ended up with because at the time it would have been just one on each tribe. Then how it seems there have been seasons where there's been like, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8. And it's like, you know, someone's got two idols in their pot. It was like idols everywhere. Let's go look for a funky tree. There's an idol. You know, there's a smooth stone. There's an idol. I got so tired of that.
Well, and the activated idol is another tally point for Xander because he didn't have a vote for like the first 3 weeks.
Yeah, he was able to navigate through that without being targeted. Again, that's something to his credit.
Yeah.
So I like the idea that happened. Like you're taking a chance here because until it's activated, you don't even have a fucking vote. So I thought that was – I like that. The whole business of going to the island and choosing and you have an advantage or not, in retrospect, I don't feel it ever really added much of anything to the game. And it didn't, you know.
Well, and it added the fact that there were outside relationships beyond the immediate tribe you were in. There was now this X factor relationship and you don't know what happened.
Right, but again, it never really came in. It really didn't come into play in the show.
Well, no, I mean, it could have if Liana and Shan had been smart and said, "We're going to work together, but we're not going to tell anybody."
Right, but they blew it. Shan blew it by talking in front of Tiffany right off the bat. Ugh,
right,
idiot. So, like I'm saying, because it didn't end up really having a great impact on the rest of the game, and that was the closest one to it, and even that kind of ended up not really meaning anything. I didn't care for it. The game changer that Erica did, I didn't love or hate it. I understand people hating it. Part of me kind of the aspect of it I enjoyed was they were going to pick one person to you know feast with them, and the other person too bad, and we're just going to screw you over yet again. And I like the idea of them thinking they make the choice to go one way. It actually, you know, boomerangs back on them. So yeah. I like that conceit of it. And I said, and my only concern was like, if she makes the dumb decision, oh my God, I want them to vote her out immediately. Oh my God.
But as you pointed out, you know, you're at the bottom. You have to. There was no choice to be made.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, it was almost like ridiculous television. Now, of course, they blew it in my mind. They should have had her smash the thing there in front of them, not right. by herself on the island. Let's go back to the videotape. No, no, it should have been, that would have been better TV. That would have been better TV. So they blew it on that one. I don't care that much for the gimmicks unless they really come up with something interesting. The do or die thing was kind of, it just would have sucked to leave the game in that fashion. That would have just been so upsetting for me as a player. It's like, cause I didn't even get the chance to even get voted out or not. It's like, oh, I basically lost a shell game. You know, I found that a little frustrating. It worked out.
But I felt like, I mean, Erica and Heather not participating was a smart move for them because they had a good shot of being the first person out and they recognized that and said, I'm not going to play.
Right. Yeah. No, it worked, but I didn't love it. But it gave us something to talk about. You know,
when we were watching,
you know, it was something. It was something a little different. You know, I think one has to realize that they've had to do a lot of this because they're dealing with a shorter period of time than normal. And so I guess two less players than they've been playing with for a while. Because usually it starts with 20, doesn't it?
Right.
And this year it was 18. And is it 26 days instead of 39? Is that where they had to trim it down to? It's a much lower number.
I wanted to say it was 10 less days, but maybe it's 13.
I'm not sure. It's something significantly lower, and I know all the reasons why and what happened with the COVID and whatever. I get that. So I think in a way, okay, we have to toss these things in there because otherwise it's just going to feel like a truncated season of Survivor and nothing else.
Right.
So, you know, I'll give them points for trying. Did everything work out well? Not really. But, you know, the thing is, I feel we've seen much dumber or annoying things done in previous seasons that I'm happy to see go. Like, I grow weary of a lot of the Exile Island stuff over the years.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Oh, that one year where they were having the competitions there, let's go watch them. Ever since that season where that guy who was exiled for so long, then he came back and won the damn thing, which was just total bullshit. I've been soured on the whole concept of that. So I hope they never really bring that back.
Well, I'm praying that the truncated season means we don't have to have the thing with the tiki torches where they sit and reminisce about all the people that got kicked out. Cause I just loathe that.
Haven't they gotten rid of that the last couple seasons?
Yeah. But I can just see them bringing it back. I never liked it.
It's funny you should say that. So my thing with Survivor is there are things that they phased out. And I know, I generally know just from, you know, common sense or whatever, why things got phased out. There's at least one, if not more, things I think should come back. And I know what the problem was with them. And I know how to fix it. And I might even write something off and send it to Jeff Probst myself on Instagram or something. I've heard he responds.
Really?
We'll see. So the way I looked at, when I watched Survivor, all the years I watched Survivor, there were certain things that everybody, the players, and to a certain extent, the fans look forward to every season. You look forward to the merge. You look forward to, when their family members are going to be there, that whole thing, and things like that. The thing that I, at least in its original incarnation, not what it eventually became, one of the things I loved on Survivor was Survivor Auction. I love Survivor Auction.
Yeah, that was fun.
I love Survivor Auction. The problem with Survivor Auction is at a certain point, it became, okay, we're all just going to hold up. Generally speaking, except for the one person who's going to buy the thing of peanut butter or the one person who's going to buy the thing of nachos, we're just going to wait for that advantage. And we're all going to just lay it all there. And they decided, okay, now it's just become tired and stale, and that's all they're doing. They're kind of taking the fun out of this. So
they could have fixed that just by putting the advantage in the peanut butter and not telling anyone.
Well, that is one way to do it. It's not necessarily the way I would do it. That's,
but I'm saying you could have said there's an advantage here, but you won't know which it's in.
That is a way to do it. Here's the way I would do it. Because that's okay. That's fine. Okay. That's not bad. I don't like it.
Don't hold back. Tell me what you really think, Scott.
Here's what I would do. So with each item. Oh, two things. Well, first, if I recall, and I'm not talking about that dumb season with the whole, let's rack up number of chips we have for whatever, where the hell that was. Which
the fire tokens.
That was so poorly executed and confusing and just like that. I don't know what the hell was going on.
That was the same season when Rob and Sander were like giving advice.
Ugh.
That was tiresome and horrible TV.
Ugh. Awful. Now, my recollection with the auction was that everyone is basically given, was it like $20? 20 survivor bucks, I think, something like that. 10 or 20. I don't remember what the number
was.
Is. Whatever the number. Let's just say it's 20 just because I just want to use a number like 20. Now, I think that it should be something that they're looking forward to that we're leading up to at a certain point. So in challenges leading up to it, and especially because usually when they get the challenges, they do the thing where it's, we're going to separate all you into like two teams of, five each or four each or three teams of four, whatever the hell, you know what I'm talking about. But the winner or winners, whatever, you get an extra buck or two. Because I like the idea of people having a different amounts of money when they go into an auction, just like a real auction. I like that. Number one. Number two, every item. I don't care if it's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or a slice of pizza or whatever the fuck food, because it's got to be food. By the way, yeah, no pillows, no blanket, none of that crap.
Nah.
Boring. They're starving. They want to eat. It's food. Food, food, food. Anyway, but every item comes with an envelope.
Nice, I like it.
You don't know what's in that envelope.
Yeah.
The envelope could be an advantage. The envelope could be nothing. Or, and this may only, now this would, I wouldn't put this for every item. I would put it at a later item where it could also be a disadvantage.
Nice.
Now the disadvantage doesn't necessarily mean, you're going to lose a vote or something like that. It could be something as just screwed up as, like, I love the idea of, like, having, like, one of the final items be, it's like a steak and mashed potatoes or something like that. And then the envelope is, you have to give the food to the person next to you or something like that.
Or the envelope is, you get no silverware. You got to sit there and eat the steak like Barney Rubble.
But I liked it that, like, every item has something with it, so you don't know if you're getting an advantage or not. So it doesn't become about that. You can suspect as we go along that maybe there hasn't been a big advantage given out yet. Maybe I should put all my token cash on this one or not. I just think it mixes it up, and it just makes it just more interesting. And plus, they're starving. Let them eat. I want them. I think that's kind of, I'd be the same way. It's like, oh my God, it's usually some, it's pizza from Domino's. Oh boy. But
What I always thought was cruel about the auction?
Yep.
Is you can only eat until the auction ends. No, I bought this freaking peanut butter. I want to finish it.
Yeah, they do that with the challenges too, when they would eat on the thing, which I always thought was kind of weird. I mean, I get it, but there's always part of me that's like, really? You can't, like, just stuff something in your pocket to eat later? I don't know. But, I get it. I guess I get it. Whatever. But I love the auction. The auction is one of my all-time favorite things. I wish they would find a way to bring it back. That's one way to do it. What you said is another way to do it. There are ways to keep it from being what it became. There are just ways you can change that. And
you could surprise everybody and say every time you've gotten a vote but weren't thrown off, you get extra dollars. And nobody knows that till the auction day.
Yeah, that's true.
And so the people at the bottom now have the most money.
Right. excuse me. There's so many ways to go about it. So I really missed the auction thing. The next thing, I kind of know why they stopped doing it. And it's and other than not being able to swim, it's the only other, well, no, the bathroom issue bothers me too. So that's two things. It's the number, and the bugs, that's three things. Okay. It's the number four reason why I would have had a problem going on Survivor. And I know why they're not doing it, but this part of me kind of goes, yeah, but you could bring it back, couldn't you? I liked when they were forced to eat really disgusting things.
Oh, see, that was never my favorite, because remember that show where that was like its thing?
Fear Factor or something?
Yeah, and I never watched it.
Yeah, that show kind of ruined it, actually.
Yeah.
But that's what got Cochran back in the game, man.
yeah, it was.
So now they don't do the letters anymore, right? They just have the family members just show up all together?
Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. It would have to happen this week if there's going to be anything.
I don't think they're doing this. I wonder with the whole COVID thing if maybe they just didn't do the family thing.
Right, but I thought they would do letters instead.
But the problem with the letters thing is like, oh no, you've been gone for 3 weeks. Come on, really?
Yeah.
I mean, even a kid at camp isn't that sad at that point. It's just lame. Can't think of any. Oh, one more thing. So about proposal. So I want to see if you have an idea. Because I always have stupid ideas for this. I have one that they'll never do. So the other thing about Survivor that I either really enjoy when they come up with a good one, or I really hate when they come up with a lame one. And Lord, they've done a few lame ones over the years. Some are so embarrassing we should never even repeat them again, because they're just, oh. When they come up with some sort of wacky theme for the season. And I usually do not care for if you're not dealing with returning players, and it's just, oh, it's, you know, hustlers and this and that. I was like, oh, shut up, just don't call them anything. Just make it 20 people, because it's always lame.
Yeah, they had the brains and the brawn and
the beauty and the brains. It was embarrassing when they do stuff like that. But I'm thinking more of when you're different ways to bring people back. And in my mind, right at this point, number one, even though there are many players I like, I never want to see someone who's already won Survivor compete on Survivor again. I don't want 1 million. I don't want anyone who's won the million ever to compete in Survivor again.
What if it's all people who won the million?
They did. They tried that. It didn't work out. It wasn't good. Because that would have been my initial thought. Like, I'll just bring back all, because that way they've all banked money. But maybe they don't take it as seriously. Maybe they don't care as much. I don't know what it is. It just didn't work out.
So let's hear your wacky idea, because I got one.
Well, there's a few.
Okay.
And they've done versions of, well, okay. You want the idea that they'll never do?
Yep.
And I know why they'll never do it. There's a million reasons why they'll never do it. I mean, number one, it'll offend everybody.
Well, that would probably be a good reason.
Jeff Probst would have would want no part of it. But I think I would personally love to see a season where you just brought back all the legitimately freaking crazy people who've been on the show over the years. I want Rocket Scientist Girl back. You know,
Johnny Fairplay.
I want Russell's psychopath nephew.
Yeah, that was something else.
Yeah, I don't think that guy's ever setting foot on an island ever again.
No.
But there's been a lot of. I want FBI dude back again, because he's loopy. That's not one I don't really think they'll ever do that for a million reasons. Because what are you going to call it? The Survivor the Freak season or something.
You can do the Survivor the Medevac season, and put all the Medevac people back on the island.
All the Medevac people. Or no? Did they do one where they legitimately made it all the also rans?
The seconds? Yeah, I think they...
I feel like they did that, right?
Yeah, that was even with, like, the first, though, I think.
Yeah, which made sense. You know,
because if you got to think about it, some of those people in 2000, if they were in their 30s, they'd be in their late 50s now.
Well, yeah. You really can't... I don't know how far back you can dip at this point.
Right.
I mean, it was surprising a couple years ago when they went back pretty far, but at this point, I'm like, no, I think you really got to, I think you got to stay within at least the last decade.
I mean, even Boston Rob's starting to look a little old.
Yeah, okay. What ideas would you have?
Well, I mean, here's one they would never do, but I'd love it. Is you know how to determine the third, they, you know, do the fire thing or whatever? Mm-hmm. What if they do this? And the first person who steps forward and agrees to leave the game will be on next season. So now if you're in third or fourth and you don't think you can win, you can step off and you play again.
Huh. That's interesting.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, the interesting thing is because whenever a player goes right into the very next season, the other people don't realize he or she was on the previous season because they're already there, right? So there's that. So that would work to it. That's how like that tribe didn't know that Russell was a total snake because he went right to the next season.
Right.
If they'd known the type, although they probably picked it up because he's not as athletic as Mr. Subtle. And other players like that. So that's an advantage to doing that. That's interesting. I guess that's, That's interesting. See, yeah. I wonder if it should be the also whoever came in number two or whoever came in number. Well, you see the problem now, the whole thing with the fire thing annoys me because now it's like I can't say whoever came in number four, like, you know, like your Rob Cesterino types and those kind of people. I don't love the fire thing.
Yeah.
Because. You know why? I mean, I get it. It's a skill and it's something you learn to be on Survivor and people are practicing it, blah, blah, blah. What annoys me is that, okay, so let me get this straight. I've been on this island, you know, in a normal season for 30 something days and now it's basically going to be left up to chance. I don't like, that's kind of like why I didn't like the do or die thing that much. I got it, but I just like, no, if you've already invested time there, there's no way you could be happy about that. I'd rather get blindsided by my best friends than just lose by chance. Because then I'll always be thinking, gee, I should have picked the one on the left. God, that would just kill me. I mean, he picked the right one. That was amazing. But geez, you know, it's not, you know what? I'll give Ricard credit, even though it showed his age, maybe. I'm making a Monty Hall reference.
Yeah.
But, it's like, it's Wayne Brady now, dude. Anyway. But I want to do that if I'm on Let's Make a Deal. I'm not on Let's Make a Deal. I'm on Survivor. That's right. You know, that's the game I want to play, you know.
No, I hear you.
That's how I feel about it. All right. My headphones, I can't simply hear anything anymore. All right, now I can hear me. Okay, is there anything else we wanted to cover before I start? David, you are one of the listeners. You, I think maybe Kimber also, I can't think of anybody else, who loves the long podcasts.
I was just going to point out another minute and 48 seconds, and we're, you know, we're not quite at 2 hours, are we? Because we talked a little beforehand.
No, but we got wrapping up to do, and I'll yap a little bit about upcoming podcasts, so we might end up topping out close to it. We'll see. Yeah, your dream can still come true. Well, it probably won't because, yeah, we'd have to be going on for another 20-something minutes. I don't envision that happening.
I still can't forgive you and Dan for coming in at 199 minutes and 43 seconds. Really? 17 more seconds, it would have killed you?
I don't know what to tell you on that one. I don't think I realized that when I did it. Did I make any cuts in that one?
No. Oh, I don't know.
No. Well, if I do a cut, well, you don't know it, but you know, every once in a while, there's been one or two that are kind of obvious that I've done. No, I mean, I shaved off a couple of seconds here or there, but wasn't that many. Anyway. So, I'm glad to actually have the opportunity to talk about Survivor because I know there was a lot of people, friends of mine who do not watch it and they always are kind of react like, wait, you watch what? Because I'm known for being like, you know, I'm quality, you know, CW superhero crap aside, generally speaking, I'm known for, you know, Mr. Quality TV guy, and I'm the one who gives all the recommendations or whatever. And yet I've been watching Survivor for 21 years. And I'm always like, you know, I could kind of hide behind saying it's a guilty pleasure, but no, it's a fun, entertaining, engaging thing. I actually do buy into the whole social experiment thing because I do. And I think what's the genius of a show like that. And for me, more the only other show that I maybe had that a similar thought about was maybe the original run of The Amazing Race for a while, but much more so with Survivor. I think this applies to everyone who most everyone who watches it. It's we all are trying to imagine what we would be doing in the same circumstance, and we're playing right along with them. You know, it's like a great game show would be in a way. You know, it's just the way I'm into Survivor the way I'd be into watching, you know, $100,000 Pyramid or something like that. Only it's for an entire season worth or something. Right. So I really enjoy it. So I've always wanted to talk about it on a podcast. I rant about this show for 20 something years. People love it. I didn't even rant about Shen. That was barely a rant.
For you that was pretty tame. Yeah. I was ready to sit back and just let it rip.
It wasn't like a Gotham kind of a thing. I wanted because I brought the Jamie aspect into it and what she said, I didn't want it to come like I was, you know, attacking her or Colleen because Colleen made a kind of a comment to me on Twitter when I knocked Leanne.
Yeah.
And this is following the fact that I've been knocking Shan. And then she responded you really don't like black women on Survivor or something along those lines. And my initial response, and I knew it as I was typing it, and I went right to the, you know, I every week spend an hour or two on the phone with an actual black woman talking about this. And she echoes and agrees with everything I've said. Even more so, she hates them more than I do. And I wrote in parentheses, yes, I know I just did the, I have a black friend.
You just lost that exchange, whether right or wrong.
And then right after that, I realized I'd also put up, I did a typo and I wrote block women instead of black women.
Oh, good.
And I said, and to be clear, I do have an issue with block women, but not black women. Me and Tiffany have actually talked about just recording our phone calls and just making that a podcast. And it would have been amazing. And once I saw that tweet, I kind of wish, man, I wish we had been doing that because I was like, really? Listen to this, asshole. But anyway. I'm glad we got a chance to talk about that and glad to have you on the podcast. That's kind of fun. You know,
it was fun.
Avid listener, you know, a few lulls. I should have played the crickets for it, you know, but you know, no, here we go. Had to get them in there somewhere.
I hear you.
So, you never got to hear me do this live before. So I will do this part now. If you enjoyed this podcast and if you watched Survivor, hopefully you did, even though there are a lot of good Survivor podcasts out there. And we'll be talking about one momentarily or vidcast. But if you enjoyed this podcast, guess what? You'll enjoy hanging out on our podcast page as well. And by that, I mean our Facebook page, which is a Serious TV Drama podcast page. You can like the page and join the conversation about shows. We don't really talk about Survivor there, but I guess once I post this link there, maybe we will. You can also, let's see, where else? You can find our podcast pretty much everywhere. It's on Spotify, I think it's on, and Apple Music, and does iTunes still exist? It's there too. Who knows? Whatever. It's pretty much most places. Amazon, it's on there as well. You know, so I'm sure we're getting, you know, nothing. But better yet, you can just go to stvdpodcast.podbean.com for an entire archive of, like I said, I believe we're at 327 with this one. I forgot to look what number we're up to. So something like that. 320 something podcasts. So go back and listen to our early ones where where Dan talked a lot and I didn't know what the hell we were doing. You can follow us on Instagram. Our handle there is Serious TV Drama as one word. And you can also please follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is at STVD Podcast. STVD, of course, as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. Now, before I get to anything upcoming for our podcast, Dave, you are actually now part of a vidcast about Survivor that you've been doing with a few mutual friends of ours. If you wanted to promote that a little bit here, feel free.
Yeah, we've been doing a vidcast. We started over the summer, and we did Big Brother the entire season, and we did and we went live about 20 minutes after the show ended for the entire season. And I'm on with Jamie Joe, who we were talking about earlier, and with Christy, who are both bigger fans than me of both shows, frankly. And I thank God for that, because they, you know, they can pull the names out of their hats, and they, you know, and Jamie Joe, as you know, always has a lot of good stuff to say. And so I've enjoyed doing it. It's on YouTube, and it's and if you do a search for it, it's under Crazy Hank TV. So the channel is Crazy Hank TV.
I did not even realize it was part of that whole Jack Network deal. Nice. Very nice. Very nice.
It is.
Yeah, obviously a fan of Jamie and Christy. Christy, you know my connection to Christy? I gave Christy, Christy has access to HBO Max because of me. I wanted her to watch Doom Patrol and she didn't have HBO Max because she didn't have HBO, whatever the hell it was. And I said, you know what? I will create an account for you through mine, and you can, so you can watch Doom Patrol. I don't know if she ever watched Doom Patrol or not. I hope she did, because otherwise I'm going to be pissed off, but whatever. Cool. Very cool. Isn't JP on that podcast too?
JP was on about half of Big Brother, and he's kind of now a recurring guest. He popped on for the last 15 minutes this week.
Okay. That's
he's been busy at work, and he's been moving, and so, you know, that's kind of, I think, why I was brought in, because he was so busy. So
I'd rather listen to you than him anyway. So, you know, because that shtick only goes so far with me. Anyway,
I don't know. He cracks me up most days, but
I'm a much meaner person than you. So
I give it to him pretty hard on the cast there. So.
On the couch? Oh, on the cast. Okay.
On the couch. Anyway. Yeah, that was put horribly. I'd like to restate that for the record.
Oh, no. We're making a soundbite out of that one.
Oh, I know.
All right. So as far as this podcast is concerned, I had mentioned when we recorded the last Breaking Bad one that I've had some things have gotten delayed because of some other stuff going on, which hopefully will work out and be really cool stuff I can talk about at some point in the future. There's no way I can talk about it now. I did talk to Brian the other day for a while, and one of the things we talked about was getting back together to finish the rest of Doom Patrol for the podcast wise. So what are we, December 4th today, I think. I would say before the end of the year, me and Brian will at the very least get the rest of Doom Patrol taken care of in a podcast. I'm sure we'll have time. Absolutely. And the next Breaking Bad podcast, which will be the first half of season 4, I would love to say it'll be next Friday, but I have my doubts about that. And I'm also getting my booster right around that time, which might affect me as far as I might not really feel like recording around that time.
I got mine yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, well, look at you. You sound fine. So basically if we don't release it on the 10th, then it's probably going to be on the 17th. I don't know why I'm sticking to the whole Friday thing. I don't think anyone really cares, but, I would say the next one will be released no later than the 17th. I've already started watching season 4. I've already started my notes. I've already started enjoying it. Oh, I'm looking forward to season 5 because I have such a nice plan of how I'm going to handle those episodes, which is going to be something markedly different than how I've handled the first 4 seasons, but I can't really say anything more about it because I don't want to, I don't want to reveal how much of the sausage is made, kind of a thing. Other than that, as far as any other I don't know if there'll be anything else. I know there's other shows coming out that might be of interest, but I don't think there'll be time. And as far as the year-end wrap-up, we tend to do that in early January because I believe you should wait till the year is over before you start talking about what was the best and worst of the year. You know? Because, you know, sometimes things premiere on December 30th, you know, so you want to wait. That's the way I look at it.
I don't think anything's ever premiered on December 30th, but I get it in principle.
I believe one of the seasons of an unfortunate series of events was actually released on either the 30th or the 31st of a year.
Well, I say that. I think Cobra Kai is coming out right after Christmas.
Right. And, you know, that could make my – no, it's not going to make my
time. No, it's not going to make yours.
But I do enjoy the Cobra Kai. I enjoy it more than I remember the Karate Kid movies. Because I don't even remember any of the ones after. People start talking to me about 2 and 3. I was like, I don't even remember 2 and 3. I just remember the first one. I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because I didn't see the other two because I didn't want to. So there you go.
That's funny.
I had zero interest in them. Okay. I think that really covers everything else. So I am going to thank you once again, David, for being willing to take a couple hours out of your Saturday to talk about Survivor yet again with us here. And that's really all I have to say about that.
Well, thanks for having me on. It was a great time.
Loved having you here. So everyone out there, keep listening and hope if you didn't enjoy this one, I don't know what to tell you. You'll enjoy the next one. Have a good night, everybody.